telling the story of Jesus. And then we the blessed assurance that we have as one of God's child, that we looked at that and what that can mean to us and the courage that it will give us and to help build our faith and to make us steadfast. And then we looked, we're looking at God answers prayer today. We're going to finish that up your Psalm book 71. We looked at that. We looked at the verses that talk about the prayer, that God answers prayer, and that if and truly we can be confident that He hears us and that He answers us. And so let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians, the third chapter. I want to just to look at one particular prayer that we find. We find many prayers. If you go to the book of Psalms, a lot of David's psalms are prayers and of his trust, and even some of the pregatory prayers that he talks to God about because of his enemies. And he talks about praising God for the forgiveness of his sins and those kinds of things. But in Ephesians 3, the Apostle Paul is reading, writing to the Ephesian church there, and I've always been enamored of Paul's prayer to these Ephesians. He not only prayed for himself and trusted that God answered his prayers, sometimes not the way he had hoped God would, but he still had that trust. He still knew the power of God and how it worked in his life. And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about just the providence of God working in Paul's life through the avenue of maybe other people and the strength that he gained from them, but answer to prayer. He's a praying apostle. And so, but to this church, he says, and I read, okay, we're going to start in verse 14. He has just talked about having boldness and confident access to Christ through faith, okay, to God. Therefore, is following that confidence and that boldness and talking about the things above there. Therefore, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Listen to what he prays for these Christians, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man. Then he explains what he just said, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We know faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This is not praying for indirect operation of the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about the Spirit working on their hearts. It's talking about dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted, listen what he's praying for him, rooted and grounded in love. Love from God, knowing that, the confidence that it has, the love of Christ, and he talks about love of one another in this book, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. You can't get any bigger, broader than that scope of talking about to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. It's not just reading John 3:16 and knowing what it says. It's believing it. It's learning through the study of God's word the greatness of that and the possibilities and the privileges and the blessings that we have because of this great love. And so, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm quite there to the fullness of God yet, you know? And I think sometimes we shortchange what we are able to accomplish, what we're able to ask of God, because He's praying for that for these Ephesian Christians. Now to Him, because you can have this because of the next verse. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. He is not talking about, I do not believe, Himself as an apostle and the power that He has given by the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the power of God working in the lives of Christians. To Him be the glory in the church, all the saints, and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can even think about or ask about. So, faith. We can grow in faith. We can be assured that if we go to God in prayer and trust in Him, that He hears us and that He does answer our prayers. James 5:16 says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. He doesn't leave it to chance. He doesn't say maybe. He says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And then he talks about Elijah praying for rain the drought, and he prayed for rain and it rained. Evidently, Elijah, in his service as the prophet of God, didn't limit God's power in the things that he asked for. Then I asked, we talked about this, does He always answer prayer in the way we like? No, we looked at that. Now, we come to the part that we left off. Do we always know how or what to pray for? Turn our Bibles to Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version of 1611. Romans 8:26 and following. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, I believe it's a small s, itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, and He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, I believe it's small s, ours, because He maketh intercession for the saints. Hebrews 7:25 says that's Christ. According to the will of God, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For the good. Every spiritual blessing is in Christ. Everything that God has done from the beginning and before the beginning of time has been for man's good, for our good. So much so that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. And that He gave us His word so that we may know how to live to be like Him and to be heirs according to the promise that he made of Abraham in Genesis, the 12th chapter. And so, sometimes I find I am so overwhelmed either with grief or concern or like, I know when it was time for Dorothy to go home and she was not going to go to rehab. They were throwing her out of the hospital after her major stroke. And I was standing there in the hospital hall, literally sliding down the wall because I didn't know how I was going to take care of her. So, you just give it to God. I mean, that's all I could do. And he answered our prayers. Sometimes we see the providence of God and understand it, and sometimes we don't. But in this instance, the Lord answered two prayers. He answered Sheila's prayer for comfort for her mother. She died. He answered my prayer because Alice, who was taking care of Sheila's mama, came to help me with Dorothy. The very next Tuesday. She died on Friday. She came to work for me on Tuesday. And so, you know, we see these things, and we can all think back in our own lives how things have come up. We may not understand, but we see the grace of God and the providence of God. Like I say, we may not always understand it. I know when Allison was here, we were talking again, the adoption of the baby. They see in hindsight the wisdom of God in that he said no at the last minute because of other things that have come up that takes their attention, that is best, better for the kingdom. And so, you know, God sees the big picture. We have to trust him. We don't understand it. We just keep on praying. And we keep on trusting. Because God wants our good. Let's look at our song, number 71, verse 3. As days grow short and life begins to fade away, we see God's wisdom as he answers when we pray. Our Heavenly Father knows our every care and need. He knows what's best. His will, we must give heed. God answers prayer today in the wisest way. He knows what's best for us from day to day. And of course, what God wants is for us to be trained by our trials, to be disciplined by his word, to trust him so that we may be with him forever in heaven. So, yes, he knows what's best, even if it's a rebuke, even if it's a no, even if it's something we don't understand. We need to trust our Father because he only gives good gifts to his children. Any thoughts about that? So I asked you, who knows us best and seeks only our good? God. Matthew 6:8 talks about what he even knows what we need before we ask. You know, and that's just about our food and our clothing and our drink and, of course, other things. He knows it before we ask. We all know Philippians, the 4th chapter. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That's the hard part. You know, the Holy Spirit put that in for a reason. When we're up against the wall, sliding down the wall, not knowing, find something to be thankful for. And, you know, I was thankful. I was thankful that Dorothy was going to be released, that she was going to maybe with home care and with home rehab have some kind of recovery. And she did, you know. So we thank God for the blessings, and we thank God for the trust that we have in Him, even, and look to Him in faith. And so, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And I love the next verse. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding or comprehension, shall guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. In connection to our blessings and being a child of His through Jesus Christ, we can have peace. This is not peace as with God, the forgiveness of sins being brought to Him. I think it's peace. I think it's a frame of mind, a not being anxious. It's the opposite. The peace, the comfort, the not being torn apart, which anxiety there means, overwhelmed by, but this peace, okay? So, and then I gave you some song. Any other thoughts about that? Let's turn to song number 62. We're not going to spend a lot of time in our songs that that I gave you, just, you know, to think about some of the other songs that we sang along that line. But I wanted to briefly look at song number 62, which is Did You Think to Pray? It's a song that we sing to one another. And as we sing to one another, we should ask ourselves, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray in the name of Christ our Savior? 62, page 62. Did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Starting the day, asking God to watch over you, to help you to be the best you can be, live for Him that day, have the right kind of attitude. You know, as I open my refrigerator door, I look at those, did I? You know, the things from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, you know, about those things that are listed there on how love acts. Sometimes I have to remind myself, and I look at those every day when I open the refrigerator door, because I need to work on some of that stuff, okay? And so sometimes more one day than the next. And so, then I wanted us to look at verse 3. When sore trials come upon you, did you think to pray? Because we've had so much sickness and so much going on with some of our brethren or in our lives, and anxious moments with our children and that kind of thing. When your soul was bowed in sorrow, balm of Gilead. Who knows what that is? Remember, we were talking about knowing what you say to God, understanding what you're singing. Balm of Gilead, did you borrow at the gates of day? In Genesis 37:25, it's talking about Jacob. And also in Jeremiah 8, Jeremiah even talks about this balm of Gilead. And what it is it's a medicinal perfume or oil from the balsam trees that were only found in Gilead at the time of the biblical dates. And it was, like I say, it was an antibacterial. It was an anti-inflammatory. It was for healing. And it was a very sweet and a very calming. And some say that one of the things mentioned that the Queen of Sheba brought from the area to Solomon was this, and that the priest even used it, and you know how they would anoint and those kind of things, and you'd go to the priest and you know that kind of thing. This was what was used by the Israelites as a balm, as a healing oil or cream of some sort from this tree. And so the figurative language here, the balm of Gilead, is this healing oil that's able to take care of all the inflammatory things that Satan can throw at us, or that our hearts are sad with, and be healed. But she's talking about, you know, from the throne of God. And so she's comparing this person. It's comparing this balm of Gilead to the healing balm that we can get by prayer to the throne of God. That's what we're saying. Okay? So, then it says, oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. And so we sing those things to each other. And when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. And of course, we've studied about don't forget to pray when things are lovely, too. You know, God wants to hear our thanksgiving. Remember the 10 lepers? And only one come back to thank Jesus? And how much of a big deal Christ made about that? Okay, so we also sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let's turn to 73, which is right over, not too far from that. We're only going to look quickly at Sweet Hour of Prayer, verse 3. Sweet Hour of Prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bliss. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace. See those blessings that we have? Because we have those in Christ, because he gives those to us, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. This is what we sing. This is what we pray. This is what we declare before the God of heaven. The only thing is, do we mean what we say, and do we follow through with the actual looking forward to and having the attitude, sweet hour of prayer, the attitude towards prayer to God? We don't have the third hour of the day or the sixth hour of the day as the Israelites did. We can approach God anytime, anywhere, out loud, in our thoughts, and it should be a sweet hour. Okay, any thoughts about that? Then we sang number 95, 'Tis the Blessed Hour Prayer. Same thing, you know. And then we sang 465, Jesus Knows, Jesus Cares. We studied that. We sing that to one another. It should build our faith. This is what we're talking about in our song service at this time. But let's go over to 69. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. And then I put on your sheets 633. How long has it been? Steve dealt with this in the sermon Sunday night. And so, how long has it been since you took everything? We might say our blessing, thank you, God, for this food, and some prayers that we say maybe at church or the things that we say at night. But how long has it been since you really laid it all out before God? That's a question for myself and yourself. Okay, how long has it been? Okay. Another part of our singing that should build faith is about judgment. Because there is a great day coming. If we don't put Christ and glorify Him in our lives, and if we do not stay true to the words that we say to Him and the things that we do to give glory to Him, we need to think and we need to be seriously consider, because there's a great day coming. 283. And Sally, would you like to read 2 Corinthians 5:10, please?
Sure. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things.
2 Corinthians 5, I'm sorry, 5:10. Did I say something else? Yes. I'm so sorry. I was looking at the other. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Yes, ma'am.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad.
Okay, so I just asked a simple question. What stated there that would cause one to strive to strengthen their faith and service to the Lord? Exactly. To give an account for the deeds that we have done. Okay. Matthew 25:46. Sandra, can you read that? So what are the two destinies that only we either go to one or we go to the other? There's no gray area. There's no land in between that you can, you know, hopefully beg God, you know, to or do something after, you know, judgment to say, I'm going to do better, Lord. You know, what's the two destinies?
Eternal life and everlasting.
Okay. Let's look at verse 2 of the song that we sing. 283. There's a bright day coming. Of course, the first one talks about the great day, you know, the saints and the sinners to be parted right and left. Verse 2. There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for the day to come? What does it mean to them that love the Lord? Is that just, I love you? I mean, there's a lot of people out here in the world that say, I love Jesus. Praise Jesus. Now, what's it mean?
Committed.
Committed?
Following His word.
Following His word?
Living the life daily.
Living the life daily. And, you know, doing the best we can. We're going to look at some of the songs on that last sheet there that I gave you that we say to the Lord and everything. But right now, that bright day is for saints. Those that have trusted and believed in the gospel, who have said, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. And as y'all have said, to follow Him every day, trusting and obeying every day. Our life, we're going to fail. That's why John, 1 John 5 tells us that we can trust in the blood of Jesus. If we repent, He keeps on cleansing. His blood cleanses us, so we can trust in that. But He knows us. He knows our hearts. We can't fool Him. It can't be hypocritical. And so, there's only two destinies, heaven or hell. Personally, I don't want to see what hell's like. Okay? I've been given enough of a glimpse of it that I don't want to go there. I can't imagine what heaven's like. But I know one thing. Jesus is there. The saints are there. Angels are there. And God of the universe, you know, along with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, are there. And so, I ask, why would singing this song about the judgment day or heaven build faith? Why? What's it cause us to think about this bright day? And we sing about heaven's song. We sing, you know, immortally arrayed. Let's just turn over there. Oh, let's look at, I'll answer what I put down. It's hope and resolve. It gives me hope so that I can make it through the trials of this life, that I can stand firm. There's something better out there. But it's also resolve. It should make me think, am I serving God to the best I can do? Do I need to make some changes? Put your hand down, please. So, resolve to be more and more like Him each day, to hold fast. Okay? And the time of trial. To see what great love the Father has, the blessings, the extent He went, and to make it our goal. Okay? 1 John 3 says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, we are children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We will know that when He appears, we will be like Him. Because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope is fixed on Him, purifies himself. You see the reasoning through that and the resolve. We have this hope, therefore, to be like Him. Everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. And in 2 Peter 3, we all know about that verse, those verses. 10 through 18 talks about looking for that day. Verse 11, since we are looking for this hope, Peter, the Holy Spirit, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Verse 14, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless, and blameless. Verse 17, be on your guard so as to not fall from your steadfastness. Verse 18, this is the summation. Grow in the grace and knowledge, the knowledge of His grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we grow in that knowledge, just as Paul prayed for those Ephesians, their lives would be better. They would understand more. They would desire to do more, be better, walk worthy of the gospel as He talks to them in chapter 4 and 5 and 6. So, back to our song in 71 before we go over to Immortally Arrayed. When I sing, are you ready for that day to come? We're singing it to one another. What about myself? Am I ready? Do I examine myself? Do I prayerfully rededicate further my allegiance to Him? If not, I condemn myself before God. If I look at this, line up with the Word of God, and I fall short, and I don't dedicate to do better, then it's over for me. The conscience is seared. It doesn't really matter all that much then. So, are you ready? And it should be, am I ready? But we can encourage one another. We can encourage the sinner out there. There's a great day coming. And there's a sad day for some people. Are we telling people about that? And so, there's a great day coming. There is judgment. He is coming. He will judge. And that's what Matthew 25 was about. And it was even about what you did for brethren there, for these little one of mine. Much less all the other things that the epistles talk about from the Holy Spirit, that Jesus taught, even on the Sermon on the Mount, about forgiveness and those kinds of things. Take His word and examine ourselves. Make us more aware of standing before God and what we're saying. So let's look at that. Immortally arrayed is a prayer. 2:35, quickly. Is it okay if I take another 10 minutes? We'll be done probably. Is it okay with you? Okay. Immortally arrayed. 2:35. Susan, would you read verse 2 and the chorus?
When I shall cease to walk past roads and come home to you, send me into thy blessed abode, dwell with me. Soon my journey here must end, our life fades. We'll bring that eye light that has been immortally arrayed.
Immortally arrayed. Wonderful. And verse 1 says, when my life on earth for me is past, O Savior, take my hand and grant that I might firmly stand upon the golden strand. This is a prayer. All the song is a prayer that we sing to the God of the universe and to Jesus. And so, thinking about this new self and being with them and not having this body with pain and sorrow. And it talks about being weary. Well, we better be doing some work that's going to make us a little weary. Or making those choices that may not be popular, that might burden us down, and Lord, help me through it. And so, a weary warrior for Jesus. And so we sing those. We talk about the beautiful life. We talk about the beautiful place in 261. We talk about Paradise Valley. One of my favorite songs, up in Paradise Valley. And then 457. Or not. This becomes more dearer. If the Lord lets you live, it shouldn't, but I think it's the way it happens. At 457, the last mile of the way, it becomes more prevalent in our minds. And this also is a declaration of faith. And talking about the trust that we have in this eternity with Christ. And he says, if I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work to the close of day, I shall see the great King in his beauty when I've gone the last mile of the way. If for Christ I proclaim the glad story, If I seek for his sheep gone astray, I am sure he will show me his glory when I've gone the last mile of the way. And if here I have earnestly striven and have tried all his will to obey, 'twill enhance all the rapture of heaven when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know that there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. What we're saying to Jesus, earnestly striven, working the best we can, we're not going to be perfect, but we trust in him. We trust in his blood to cleanse us. We trust in his word, and we do the best we can. And he knows us. He knows our hearts. So, any others that you thought about that would help build faith before we just look at the things that we say? Okay, quickly. Some promises I sing. I personally have trouble sometimes singing some of these songs. I would prefer to sing songs of praise, songs of hope, songs that would make me think about the things that I need to change instead of projecting self as a Peter. Number 332 says, I surrender all. All to thee I give. And we can go through that song. And this was written by an artist who was an Episcopal Methodist blend in there somehow. And he taught some Bible classes, and people persuaded him. He went to a Bible school to become a preacher. He gave up being an artist. And this is when he wrote this song. I surrender all. Like us. Yes, he preached for a while and he had a pretty good life and he did all these things. But later in life, he spent his money and he went to Europe and he studied all this art stuff and everything, and he went back to being an artist. You know, but then Billy Graham gets up. You all know who Billy Graham was. And he says, this person was one of the greatest influences in my life. Okay, so nobody ever surrenders all. We want that in our heart. We can sing it with a resolve to do the best I can. But when some of these... Let's turn to 332 just a second. Like I say, I can't be a Peter and say, Lord, I'll never forsake you. And you know, that happens to be down on the list. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust in his presence daily live. Yes, humbly at his feet I bow. We give our life to Jesus, saying we want him to be Lord of our lives. That's what we can mean, you know, in this, and we do that. But worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I don't know what that actually means right there. Take me, Jesus, take me now, except to take my life, you know, and in service to him. Okay. But I surrender all. I know I don't. I know I fail. And fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. In a Calvinistic world, while this was written, I don't know exactly what the writer had in mind, so I can't begin to think that, you know, think of that. Maybe help me with thy love and give me the will and the strength to do, to fall under your lordship. If we mean that, we can sing this with our hearts and do the best we can. And then pray in a prayerful way, Lord, I failed in this today. Okay. Each day I'll do a golden deed. By helping those who are in need. And if I sing this and I don't resolve in my heart to each day, if it's just teaching your children, if it's just telling your husband, thank you for the job you did. We're not talking about doing some great thing. We can, like I said, teaching our children, telling people we appreciate them, making a call, being friendly to someone or helping someone in the grocery line. You know, you see they're having trouble and struggling and stuff like, you know, just lend a hand or have an attitude. You know, something's going wrong and it's a stressful moment, just how you react. The way the Lord wants us to react can be an example. You know, sometimes we think we've got, like I say, do some great thing for the Lord every day. But let's just keep in mind the character of how He wants us to be. And yes, we need to be busy serving one another. But everyone has their limitations. Everyone has their abilities and everyone has different opportunities. So, you know, I believe that maybe we can sing this, but I don't want to flaunt myself as each day I do a golden deed for helping those who are in need and so forth and so on with this grandioso, you know, look at me, Lord, look what I'm doing for you. Remember we looked at that? And He says, don't you remember what me? Just get behind me and follow me and pick up your cross and follow me. So, let's think about the promises that we make God. I love thy kingdom, Lord. If we don't love it, if we're not having the Lord of our life, if we're not serving our brethren, if we're not living the life, we don't love the kingdom. I want to be a worker for the Lord. Steve dealt with this. This is what we say to God. We will answer for every word and deed before the throne of God. Busy every day in the vineyard, like I say. Okay. I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life on earth I'll spend. Lay down my life for Him. Defend His cause. Love to the end. That's some of the verses, some of the words that we sing in that song. Go where He sends. Every moment prove that I stand with Him by telling others. I sort of choke on some of those words sometimes. Jesus is my friend. He's a friend to me. I don't know if I can even compare with any of the things that means being a friend to Jesus. I don't know. I'll do my best. I'll try to live for Him. You know, we sing that song, Live for Jesus. We encourage one another, live for Jesus. And then the next line. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. His cross to bear. Really? My prayer is that. I don't know if I can stand up beside of Jesus or in front of Jesus' throne and say, just anywhere, Lord, you just take me in. You know, I'll go anywhere. My prayer is that I will. So, when we sing, you will have to judge what your heart is saying, what your thoughts are before the throne of God. Give me the strength, Lord. If something comes that I must follow and a certain cross to bear. We don't know what our country's going to be like tomorrow. But in prayerful mind, Jesus, give me the strength. You know, make it more of a prayer than a declaration of glorified self before God. I'll never forsake my Lord. And I do pray in this way. Please, God, help me not to forsake you. None of self and all of thee. It also sticks in my throat because I know better. My Jesus, I love thee. I know that thou art mine. All the follies of sin I resign. Another prayerful approach. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. I have failed so many times in this. I'm glad the Lord's not keeping count. Unless I repent and do better. But he is, you know, if I don't. The love of God, I have made it my own. I will hide it in my heart, that it will never depart. It shall rule there alone. Words and promises that we need to meditate on, pray over, grow in. I love the prayer songs. This is where I get my strength. I am thine, O Lord, draw me nearer to thy precious bleeding side. Concentrate me now to thy service, Lord. Let my soul look with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. It's a prayer. We can pray it in trust and in love and in sincere, humble heart. More holiness give me, more patience, more gratitude. I need all that. So when we sing to one another, we're singing this prayer to God. Pure in heart, O God. Who doesn't need that? More like you, Jesus. Make me more like you. If we're not doing anything to change the things that we need to change, or study his word to see the beauty of Jesus, we sing that song, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen in Me, then we don't need to sing it. Oh, to be like you, blessed Redeemer. Teach me your way. Help me to walk aright. For not studying our Bible daily and praying over it and learning from it, we don't need to sing a song. Take my life and let it be more concentrated, Lord, to thee. And so forth and so forth. 63, I need thee every hour. The next to the last one. Lead me some soul today. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me some soul today. Wonder if he does. You know, he answers prayer. What am I going to do about it? And then number 104. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home. That's what we want. That's the end of all. What we're about, what Christ is about, what the God of the universe wants. So, may we in truth and spirit worship him. Consider our lives. Consider our words. And make our deeds match our heartfelt, sincere worship that we give to the Lord. A beautiful life. We sang that song, 395. And the chorus is, life's evening sun is going down. And it talks about, you know, being in heaven with him. Let's turn to 395 and look at that. Just, you know, we sang about the golden deed and all that that we talked about. But 395, verse 4, while going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. Then the chorus, life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, for there will be no setting sun. I hope this series has helped you. I know it helped me to consider and to reevaluate my song service and worship to God. Any other thoughts before?